When my daughter was growing up, my daughter Michelle, she was a good teenager. She was respectful to mom and dad, with the exception of two occasions. One time, and I'm sure there were other occasions that I did not know about, and probably her mother didn't tell me about either. One time I told her that no for whatever she wanted, and she slammed her bedroom door shut, and that drawed the 1 week grounding for her. And the second time, she was a 14, I believe, and she kind of put her arms on both sides of her waist. She said, "I can choose whomever friend I want to hang around with." And there was a boy who is not a Christian. I said no, and of course she had that defiant attitude. And I told her promptly, "You will be on my Friday prayer list." So what's the Friday prayer list? My Friday prayer list consists with the people who are backslidden. And the way I pray is according to the Bible, whatever it takes for God to get their attention. And when I say whatever it takes, whatever it takes. And she knows that a couple people, one of them had a bad respiratory disease. He almost died. And the other guy had a leukemia. Next morning, she came to me quickly, and she apologized, and she said, "Would you please take me off your Friday prayer list?" Folks, it's not uncommon for teenagers to feel that they are invincible. And yet they are extremely vulnerable. And they think and assume that they know everything, yet their parents don't know the least squat, right? Yet they practically know nothing, and especially when it comes to survival and social skill. As one who been there, done that, butchers, because we all once are teenagers, right? We need to come along their side to help and guide them to the Lord more than just simply barking orders at their face like a drill sergeant. Our children are not our recruit. Let me say one more time. Our children are not our recruit. They are gifts from God. They are gifts from God for us to raise them in such a way and love them in such a way they will have a desire to follow God like you do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we open our hearts and Bibles to receive your truth, may you grant us, and according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with the might of your Spirit, to become wise with the wisdom of your Spirit, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that we may be rooted and grounded in love through your word. We also pray for the President Obama, that he may come to know Jesus, that he may receive true salvation instead of lip service, that he may do what is right to please you. And we also pray for our troops and law enforcement personnel, sheriff deputies and police officers and border patrol agents around this community and the firefighters. We're asking you to protect them, keep them safe, and put the hedge of protection around them, especially lifting up the troops who are out of this country, like Iraq and Afghanistan. While they are far away from their homes and their families, we are asking you to keep them safe. And you willing, you bring them back to their families soon. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 6 of Ephesians verse 12, please. Ephesians 6, verse 12. Some of you guys know this by heart. "For we do not wrestle against the flesh and blood, but against the principality, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of the wickedness in the heavenly places. Our teenagers are facing unseen enemies that comes in glamorous package. Movies, music, advertisement, peer pressure, and homosexuality. They do not have a clue that they are in danger spiritually, emotionally, and physically, literally, in literal sense. So what is the common link between all the teenagers, all the teenagers and young people together around the world? It is the worldwide pop culture which knows no geographical boundaries. MTV, the most watched television cable network in the world, and is the primary vehicle driving this conformity. Its ratchet 24-hour programming going into anybody's home. And actually, there is 377 million households are receiving MTV programming every day, and mostly to the impressionable young people, teenagers, and young adults. The corporate conglomerate makes billions of dollars making pop culture and mostly rebellion to that generation. Its executives not only keenly aware of the influences and are they're having around the world, and precisely that's what they're looking for. One of the corporate ads, I don't know if you ever seen this, there is a back of the corporate ad, just one scene. And back of the teenager's head, and it's shaved off with their logo, MTV. And has this phrase, MTV, and underneath of that picture, MTV is not a channel, it is a cultural force. People don't watch it, and they love it. And MTV has affected the way of entire generation think, talk, dresses, and buys. The amazing things about this ad is MTV not only admit that they are manipulating the young people's mind, but also they are bragging about it by spending a lot of money. Now, this MTV generated teen pop culture imposed parents child relationship, a vast and enormously influential network idea. What kinds of idea? Enticement, sexuality, profanity, ungodliness, actually going into demonic realm, and articulation of anger that compound the difficulty of growing up. And good place to begin by monitoring your children's access to the mass media is, I mean, it had to start somewhere. According to recent survey, I'll just read it to you so you can hear about it. Children aged 2 through 18 spend average, 2 through 18 years old, average hours they're spending on the TV and watching TV, listening to music, and playing computer and video games is 5 hours, 29 minutes per day. 5 hours, 29 minutes per day. That's including listening music, watching TV, playing video games, and doing those things. Many times, parents use this media as a digital babysitters so they can do whatever they need to do and they want to do. The total increase of children over 8 spend nearly 40 hours a week engaging in some sort of media-related activity. Survey also found 53% of children have televisions in their bedroom, and which include 32% and to the 7 years old and 65% 8 through 18 years old. 70% of all children have a radio, CD, MP3 players in their room, and 16% have a broadband-connected internet. So why am I saying this? And some of you say, what's wrong with having a computer? What's wrong with having TV in their own room? Let me explain. Almost everything your children see and listen, and it's not censored, it's not filtered, and they will get whatever they choose to get. Here are the few suggestions that to fight against these kinds of enemies. Number one, get those devices, whether they are the television set, computer, DVD, or the video game, and out of their bedrooms. You may say, what's the purpose of this? Do you know how many young girls end up in the chat room and talking to sexual perverts? Any given day, there are 50,000 child molesters online. Any given day. They are not just going after the young girls, they're going after young boys. Any young people are pretty much open game to them. Locate them in your family room and where it can be monitored and the amount of time spent can be regulated. Number two, put the parental blocks on your cable TV channel and internet. Parental blocks. Folks, if it's not good for your children to watch, probably it's not good for you to watch. And you may say, oh, we're an adult, we can watch adult theme. Really? If it's not your wife on the screen, I hope it's not your wife on the screen, and why do you need to watch a bare breast of other women? Or, ladies, why do you need to watch soap opera, the actors and actresses getting into the bed and who is not their husband and wives? Number three, sit down with your children and read and listen to their song lyrics together. When was the last time you did that? If those lyrics that don't reflect your children, your Christian value, tell them why and ban those songs from your home and from your children. You know, they said, well, I'll just listen to beat. I don't listen to lyrics. Really? Open up the CD cover and read aloud. Within a few minutes, you will say, this is too much. All the foul language, all the violence that against a woman, that's degrading to a woman. And nothing funny about that. Woman is not sexual object. Woman, the ladies, God created man, and he said he needs help. Okay, I admit that, and we need help. So he created a helpmate. It's not a sexual object, pleasure object. Remove those things out of your children's life. Okay, some of the children can be creative. They say, since mom and dad don't know much about computers, so they say, well, okay, I will drag into trash can. Folks, mom and dad, listen up. Just because your children put that file into trash can, that doesn't mean it's gone out of this computer. Okay? It had to be emptied, and the trash can have to be emptied. Let me put it this way. Let's say I just finished sushi. And put that fish left over in the garbage can. Is it going to stink? Yeah, it's going to stink. What do I need to do? I need to take it out to the curb, empty the trash, have somebody to empty the trash, right? Same thing. In the computer world, you just because you locate and put the electronic file into the trash can, that doesn't mean you cannot recover it. You can recover it. And some smart kid will hack it, bring it back. Or they will download it from somewhere else. That's why you need to put the block on the internet. And you need to control what they listen. Simple fact, garbage in, garbage out. So after having to empty the trash can in the computer, having to shut down the computer, reboot it back. Why? Once you do that, the idea of the emptying the trash can is destroying the link. Once you shut down, reboot it, it pretty much, the link is gone. Next thing I suggest you is, I highly suggest that the home to be off-limit from any demonic influences such as a vampire, Dungeons and Dragons video games, Ouija board games, and tarot cards. I know that vampire is very much in thing nowadays with the new movie, New Moon. And among the young people, They think it's a vampire is a cool thing. It is not a cool thing. It's a very much demonic thing, folks. What is the concept of the vampire? It's the sucking the blood out of the person. Do you know where they're getting that thing? Book of Leviticus. There's a life in the blood. Sucking the blood out of them is draining the blood out of the person so he can be more powerful. What does God do? God gives life. Devil is the one who come and kill and destroy and rob. Vampire is very much demonic thing, folks. Don't have anything to do with that kind of thing. It's not even funny to talk about or to pretend. And don't let your children dress up for the Halloween like a vampire. As a Christian, you have no business doing that kind of thing. And your children are watching, and if your children are watching and playing this kind of thing in their room, they are literally opening their door to demonic forces to come into your home. Their excuse might be, it's not real, mom. It's a make-believe dad. Number one, if they claim to be a Christian and you are a Christian, it is your Christian home, would you watch that if Jesus is sitting next to you? Probably not. Then why would you do it? Number two, if it's the so-called make-believe movies, if you continue to watch that, pretty soon you're going to start to believe what the movie says. I met people who would not believe that God created heaven and earth, but they would believe Star Trek. I said, how dumb are you? No, I didn't say that. I was nice. This is a big thing. Next one is a big thing. Homosexual influence against our teens. The homosexual right ideology continues to seek the legalization of homosexual behavior, not just tolerance, as a privileged and protected class, federally, preferably. It results in the changing social infrastructure and value deeply impacting our children's American day-to-day lives and relationship, family, neighbors, friends, and coworkers. See, the flood of this contaminated influence has been seeping into just about every single layer of social society, especially into the educational system and the teachers. And these liberal teachers and educators are promoting their homosexual agenda to our teens to make them think that homosexual lifestyle is normal and God ordained and God created that way. Do you know what's really behind? The reason why they are actively recruiting our young people is because the older generation of homosexuals are dying with AIDS. Allow me to say this rather harsh word. They are looking for new fresh meat. Flesh meat. New fresh meat. That's why they are going after our children. And some of you may wonder if what I say is illegal. If you are not familiar with the way I teach, yeah, it is illegal. This is a free country last time I checked. And now they are advancing into the Christian realm. Pro-gay revision theology, revisionist theology, takes the homosexual movement one step further by attempting to redefine homosexual behavior as God-ordained and morally permissible. I said this many times, but it's worth repeating. When God created Adam and Eve, He created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Amen. These liberal they are the liberal theologians whom I don't consider as Christians, and claim the scripture that supposedly that condemned homosexual behavior have actually been mistranslated or out of context, or it cannot be applied to present life. Let's look at the verses that they think that it's wrong. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. Okay, one book before, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 27. Likewise, also the man, leaving the natural use of woman, burned in their lust for one another, man with a man, committing what is shameful, receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which are due. You know, I think it's rather loud and clear, plain and simple, don't you think? I don't know which part of they don't get it. If you have and know someone close to you who are into this horrible bondage of homosexuality, let me make it very clear to you. I do not hate homosexual people. Their sin is just bad as mine, and I do not like their sins. And their sin is abomination to God. If you know those people and they don't know how to get out, and if you want to show them how to get out, and I have a resource list. Pastor Jack, would you raise your hand, please? Yeah, he has a stack of lists that are provided by the Focus on the Family. If you know somebody who can use this information, their website list and their DVDs and their CDs and all those lists is in listed there. So please come, go help yourself. Pick it up later after the service. So let's take a look at how to deal with the teens. How to deal with the teens. First of all, I don't have any magic formula to tell you how to deal with the teens. If I knew that it would succeed every time, probably I will take over Dr. Phil's program in the afternoon TV. Here are my suggestions. I believe that the Lord is giving us some insight about the dealing with the adolescent. Last week, I told you there are two most important parenting tools that we must have. Remember them? Two most important tools. What are they? Time and touch. You guys all remember, right? I hope you do. Time and touch. Next five suggestions, and they branch out more, are based on these two things. Time and touch. First one is a nurturing love. To steadily develop in all areas of their lives, growing teens need healthy and continuing relationship with the parents who genuinely care about them, who regularly fill up their emotional tank. Starting with, there are four primary ways to express your unconditional love for them. Number one, make a full eye contact. Make a full eye contact. Look at them, okay? Keep the eyes on them when they talk to you and when you talk to them. Use your full eye contact to give love, not just show annoyance and to punish. Second, use a physical contact. Many children do not receive adequate physical touching from their parents. In addition to the important hugs and kisses, try touching your children on her shoulder, the back of her arms, tussling his hair, scratching her back, or just poking his rib gently. And let him know that you love him. Your teenager son might be embarrassed, acting embarrassed in front of their friends, but in their heart, they are assured that their parents love them. And their friends would wish that their mom and dad would do the same thing. Third, give your focused attention. Giving your teens your full, undivided attention can make them feel like they are the most important people in the world in their parents' sight. You might wonder if the constant focus and attention will spoil your children. No, it will not. You spoil your children by failing them to train them, not by loving him or her too much. fourth thing that I ask you to give is to give a verbal affirmation of your love for them. Don't expect your children to know that you love them just because you provide the food and place to stay and do the laundries. Let him know that that 6 foot 2 inch tall son and all defense and the 300 pound, tell him you love him. He loves it. He loves it. And the girls need it from dad, and girls need it from mom. All right. This is the second thing, the protection from the harmful influence. Protection from the harmful influence. Teach your children how to think. Don't give them your thought. Teach them how to think. Don't give them just fish. Teach them how to fish. So they know what kind of dangers coming ahead. Help them to process the thought in the biblical way. Second thing is to share your deep feeling about your different subject with your young people. If they don't know those deeply held feelings you seldom talk about, your teen will be programmed to reject the feeling they do hear from you later. Third thing, help your teen to deal with the problem before they happen. This gives them advantage of coping with the life. We must learn to let the children know the potential danger without frightening them or giving them anxiety. Look for the teachable moment, teachable time, such as a teen is inquisitive and asking you questions. Some issues I'm sure you'd rather not talk about. I'm not only talking to parents, I'm talking to grandma and grandpa, or uncle and aunt. They might not be comfortable with their own parents, or parents, father may not be around, so your uncle, you become the second dad. Help them to process their thought. Help them how to handle sexuality, how to handle the exposure to the sexual themes in the media, and language, and attitude, and the violence. When you see the violence on the news, talk about it. Let it be a teachable moment. This is not the least one. Listen, try to have a meal together. Folks, listen. Try to have a meal together. I'm not talking about in front of TV. Everybody watching TV, yeah? And while you're shoveling the food into your mouth. Actually, facing each other, conversing, talking about their school life, talking about the sports, and talking about their friends. Because a lot of times their friends have more influence than you. Back to the main subject, that give a teenager gift that they hunger for most other than salvation through Jesus Christ. That's respect and dignity. Respect and dignity. Listen, please. After age 10 and 12, they're going into this age 13 and 14, and you're thinking, oh, you figured it all by yourself. Yes, I did. When they become 13 and 14, they are the two, the most difficult 24 months in any people's life. Don't you agree? When you were 13 and 14, did you figure out who you are, what you're going to do? I had no idea. I call that period a half human life. Not quite human, exactly. Listen, middle school students are typically brutal to each other, attacking and slashing weak victims like a pack of wolves against injured deer. Why? Why would do that? Because a couple reasons. Number one, they think that if I don't do that to them, the attention will turn back to me, so might as well do it to somebody else. And they say, well, it was all done in fun. Unless you are a victim, that's a different story. The combination of kindness and unconditional love and firm and consistent discipline as the parents give them respect and dignity they desire so much. If you missed the last week's study, I suggest you to talk to Ron Manpa, and it will be an entire sermon note will be on our website, and you can download the MP3 from our website. Fourth thing is a pry open the door of communication. Note the word how I said it, pry open. Pry open door of communication. How can you talk to somebody who choose not to talk? Remember, they actually carried the conversation before with you when they were 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. All of a sudden, from that age 13 to up to like a 17, 18, their vocabulary go down to probably somewhere around 8 phrases. Like, I don't know, I don't care, leave me alone, I need money, can I have a car tonight?
I forgot.
And then they have this, my friends think you are unfair. And then they have good excuse, I didn't do it. And then there's that famous word, one word, whatever. Folks, prying open the door of communication with angry adolescent can require more patience, more tact, more skill than any other parenting assignment. Often I find mother and father acting just like an adolescent, and they're shouting and screaming at each other. At the end of that screaming match, you're tired and you feel like there's no victory. Nobody won other than each one. But all the people involved are hurting emotionally. There's a better way to communicate with one another other than shouting. If that happened, with that particular, let's say there's a kid named Brian, since Brian is singing in front. No, let's make it Charlie. Brian? Stick with the Brian. Okay, Brian. Let's say Brian caused a lot of problem. This guy has never caused a problem. He's perfect. Let's say that Brian caused a problem. You take him aside. Not in your home, not in front of his siblings. Take him aside. Take him out to lunch or take him out to breakfast. You alone. In the neutral ground. If it's a man, talk to him face to face as man to man. Treat him with the dignity, treat him with the respect. All of a sudden, they will start to listen. Make sure they don't carry this, one of those text messaging thing or the MP3s so they can plug their ears so that you can have actual conversation. First of all, folks, before you start to talk to them, you have to listen to them. Open up the door. Ask them questions. Listen, encouragement and suggestions go a lot further than constant correction and punishment. If you don't let up, your children will tune you out next time when you are all over them again. Find good things they've done, even if they are small and minor and does not measure up to your standard. They will take a note of it and they will do better next time. Encouragement and suggestion, saying, do this, would you consider doing this, please? Yes, it takes more than 2 words. But it works much better. Where did I learn this? From my wife. I used to be the person who said, do this. Let's go back to what I said before. It takes time. It takes touch. It takes time. It takes touch. Remember, mom and dad, they are not you recruit. But they're a gift from God. Cherish them, love them, and raise them in God's way. However, I'm going to give you this. Some of your parents might feel condemned. There are some children who will not follow you, will not follow God. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. We're asking you to speak to us, and especially mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, and uncle and aunt. Speak to them that they may use what they learn to speak to our next generation. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.